Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
China's stock sell-off deepens as the government's regulatory crackdown continues.
On Capitol Hill, attempts to craft a bipartisan infrastructure plan hit multiple obstacles.
Profit for Tesla tops $1 billion. Up next, we get earnings from Microsoft, Apple, and Alphabet.
Mayor de Blasio mandates New York City workers to have vaccines or weekly testings, plus the Capitol riot hearings begin today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanchauer in sports. The Mets and Braves split a doubleheader, and an American teenager won Olympic gold in swimming.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare.
And U.S. futures are falling this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 151. NASDAQ futures down 18 points. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year is 0.20%. Amy?
Nathan, we begin with the continuing sell-off in China. Stocks in the country plunged again overnight as the government continues its regulatory crackdown. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
The Hang Seng Tech Index, a gauge of many Hong Kong-listed Chinese stocks, dropped as much as 10%, falling into negative territory exactly 1 year after it was first launched. China's CSI 300 fell close to 4%, and the yuan slid to its lowest level since April against the dollar. Sentiment towards property stocks also hit, as China Evergrande surprisingly decided against declaring a special dividend. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Investors in Asia aren't the only ones dumping stocks. Kathy Wood, head of ARK Investment Management, got rid of shares in tech giant Tencent Holdings and property site KE Holdings every day last week. We get more from Bloomberg's Claire Ballantyne.
What I found striking was the fact that she was reducing these positions in Chinese equities. I mean, we know how faithful she is to what she believes in. The fact that she's trimming her bets in China, that's a pretty big signal.
Bloomberg's Claire Ballantyne says Wood's largest fund, the ARK Innovation ETF, now has less than 1% of its $23 billion invested in China. That's down from 8% in February.
There are some new developments this morning on relations between the U.S. and China. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Amy. Diplomatic talks taking place in China have been contentious. China wants the U.S. to stop criticizing China's political system, drop all sanctions and tariffs, and stay out of their affairs. Despite all that, Washington and Beijing have left open the possibility of a summit between their presidents that could happen at a Group of 20 summit in October. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said that Washington's dealings with Beijing are the defining test of the century. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, attempts to craft a bipartisan infrastructure plan are hitting roadblocks. Negotiators still need to bridge differences on transit funding, spending levels on water projects, wages for federally backed projects, and how much unspent COVID money can be used to pay for the package. We caught up with California Democratic Congressman John Garamendi.
The Senate doing what the Senate normally does, which is to delay, 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 and ultimately, if the Democrats surely should have learned from the past history, when the Senate starts doing this delay, it basically means that the programs that we work so hard for are going to be ignored.
California Democratic Congressman John Garamendi spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, Wall Street is stepping up pressure on Congress over infrastructure. The heads of BlackRock, Blackstone, and Morgan Stanley are among the CEOs writing congressional leaders, urging them to pass a bill. More than 140 executives have signed the letter.
Okay, let's turn to the pandemic now. We're seeing several new developments on that front this morning. Here with the latest live is Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. Department of Justice is saying vaccine requirements for employees are legal. That comes as California requires all state employees to prove they've been vaccinated or wear a mask in the office and get tested at least once a week. New York City is taking similar actions. Meantime, a disease model from the University of Washington shows up to 60% of U.S. COVID cases have gone unreported. It also estimates nearly 20% of Americans have been infected with coronavirus as of March. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, Renita. The pandemic is also taking a toll in Tokyo this morning. The host city for the Olympics is reporting a new record for infections. Daily cases have doubled since last week, coming in above 2,800.
Okay, turning to Wall Street now. Earnings front and center this morning. Shares of Tesla are up more than 2% after results from the electric car company beat estimates across the board. Ed Ludlow has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Profit at the electric vehicle maker soared to $1.45 per share, well above the 97 cents the street was looking for. Elon Musk's company has doubled down on execution, with its Shanghai plant playing a key role. The factory in China took over from Fremont, California, as the main site for exports during the quarter. Elsewhere, Austin and Berlin are inching closer to coming online, but the semi-truck launch has been pushed back to next year. Bitcoin swings cost Tesla $23 million in impairments, but the company still holds around $1.3 billion of the digital currency on its balance sheet. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. It is another busy day for earnings with big tech under the microscope. Microsoft, Apple, and Alphabet report this afternoon. Here with that outlook on Microsoft, Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The software giant is firing on all cylinders. Sales are forecast to rise 16% from a year ago to $44.3 billion, driven by its Azure cloud product and a rebound in corporate IT spending. Looking ahead, Bloomberg Intelligence says momentum in consumer PC sales may begin to moderate, though commercial PC revenue could begin to pick up after a year of upgrade delays. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Larry, thanks. We're also watching Bitcoin after it's retreating from its 40,000 mark that it hit yesterday. An Amazon spokesperson is denying the company will accept the token for payments this year. Right now, Bitcoin's at $37,350. We had earnings from UPS cross the Bloomberg. Earnings and revenue beat. The shipping company is also reaffirming its outlook. Straight ahead, the latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York City will require all municipal workers to get coronavirus vaccines by mid-September or face weekly COVID-19 testing. The move announced by Mayor Bill de Blasio follows last week's announcement mandating vaccinations or weekly testing for public health care workers.
This is about our recovery. This is about what we need to do to bring back New York City. This is about keeping people safe. This is about making sure our families get through COVID okay. This is about bringing back jobs. You name it.
De Blasio says about 65% of adults in the city are fully vaccinated, but new vaccinations have plunged since a peak in early April. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo cast doubt on the state attorney general's investigation looking into allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct. Cuomo says this is all happening in a political system. The governor also commented about federal authorities not taking further action into how state nursing homes handled the coronavirus pandemic.
But it was politics. It was toxic politics. It violated the basic concept of justice in this nation, and it did a lot of harm and a lot of damage.
Cuomo also celebrated a state milestone, saying almost 75% of New Yorkers have taken at least one shot of the COVID vaccine. Meanwhile, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is once again trying to convince vaccine skeptics to do their part. Of those who do test positive after full vaccination, the governor says their cases are overwhelmingly proving to be minor in scope.
The vaccines turn COVID into a preventable disease.
Murphy also says the state fully expects to be back to in-school learning Monday through Friday. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot will hold its first hearing later this morning. The committee chairman says that if necessary, they'll subpoena former President Trump to get to the bottom of the attack. At least four Capitol police officers will testify today. President Joe Biden and Iraq's prime minister said that the American combat mission in Iraq will be over by the end of the year. The U.S. is expected to keep a military presence on the ground. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Amy, Mets and Braves, a regularly scheduled game plus a makeup for May, so a pair of seven-inning games at Citi Field. Only three runs were scored. Atlanta won 2-0, and then the Mets gained the split 1-0 on a Jeff McNeil RBI hit. The Mets used six relief pitchers, and they combined on the four-hit shutout. The trade deadline fast approaching. Mets general manager Zach Scott asked how confident he is he can make a deal.
It's hard to gauge. It's hard to put a confidence level, but I expect we're doing enough exploring, have enough dialogue that there'll be good opportunities for us. But like I said, it's not when you're trying to acquire players from another team, it's not quite in our control.
A lot of rumors of the Mets pursuing Chris Bryant, one-time MVP with the Cubs. The Yankees made a minor move. They sent two minor leaguers, including Hoy Park, who was briefly with them recently, to Pittsburgh for reliever Clay Holmes, who in 4 years with the Pirates has an underwhelming 5.5 ERA. Yanks off last night at Tampa Bay tonight. NBA trade, Memphis sent 7-footer Jonas Valanciunas to New Orleans for Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe. They exchanged their first-round draft picks. The NBA draft is on Thursday. Green Bay Packers training camp opening up. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to show. Reportedly, a deal struck that addresses the issues that Rodgers has with the front office. Also sounds like 2021 could well be the last season for Rodgers in Green Bay. Olympic swimming gold medal and a surprise for 17-year-old American Lydia Jacoby, who's from Alaska. She won the women's 100-meter breaststroke U.S. women's basketball team with their 50th consecutive Olympic victory, although 81-72 over Nigeria is their closest game since 2004. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson signed a multi-year partnership with e-commerce giant Fanatics. Wilson joins a Fanatics roster, including Tom Brady, Zion Williamson, and L.A. Angels pitcher slugger Ohshai Ohtani. The company will sell signed footballs, helmets, jerseys, and other products like authentic game-used equipment. This is Bloomberg. Sunshine today. We're going up to 95 degrees with partly cloudy skies tonight. A chance of showers down to 70. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. We'll see 85 degrees. It's 75 right now in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are falling along with U.S. futures as investors dump Chinese shares. The regulatory overhaul in that country shows little sign of slowing. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 147. NASDAQ futures down 18. The 10-year Treasury is up 11 30 seconds. The yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude little change, down 2 cents, $71.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $3 at $1,800.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1784 against the dollar. British pound 1.3781. The yen is at 110.11. We are watching shares of UPS in the pre-market. The company, the shipping company, reported earnings and revenue that beat analyst estimates. It reaffirmed its capital allocation outlook, but says it is not putting out an outlook for revenue and earnings, citing continued uncertainty for the economy. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. An investigation into January's attack on the Capitol gets underway today. Hearings begin for the House Select Committee to hear testimony on the attack. Firefighters reported progress against the nation's largest wildfire, the Bootleg Fire in southern Oregon. More than 85 large wildfires are burning across the country, most of them in the West. At the Tokyo Olympics, Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka has been knocked out of contention. American Carissa Moore has made history by winning surfing gold. 17-year-old Lydia Jacoby gave the U.S. a victory in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. The U.S. has 22 medals in the Tokyo Olympics. China has 21. Major League Baseball, the Mets split a doubleheader. The Red Sox won. The Nationals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day. On air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Wasn't that long ago the United States seemed ready to leave the coronavirus pandemic behind, but now we're starting to see some unsettling case numbers once again. Joining us now is Dr. Amish Adalja, a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Dr. Adalja, thank you so much for taking the time with us, and good morning to you. Are you at all surprised at these latest case numbers in the U.S., that they're going up, even after so many people have been vaccinated?
It's not completely surprising, because you have to remember that this is an efficiently spreading respiratory virus that's established itself in the human population. It's not going anywhere, and as people socially interact, we're going to see cases. The goal was always to never to have cases be eradicated or eliminated or be driven to zero. It was to decouple cases from hospitalizations and deaths by vaccinating high-risk individuals, and I think we've largely done that in many states. There are some places where that hasn't happened, but we're going to see cases, and I think we've got to shift focus away from cases to hospitals and hospital capacities as we move into kind of into the vaccine era of the pandemic.
So we're not necessarily going to see those same surges and the strain on hospitals that we saw last summer?
Right. What we're seeing is a decoupling, that cases do not inevitably end up in the hospital or hospitals in crisis, because the people that are most likely to be hospitalized have largely been vaccinated to a high degree. So in the U.S., if you're above the age of 65, 80% of those individuals have been fully vaccinated, and they constituted the majority of people that were getting hospitalized. So in states and in the country as a whole where that's been achieved, you won't see that same level of concern in hospitals, and COVID becomes more of a manageable respiratory virus. There are some pockets, however, like Springfield, Missouri, and in some states in the South, where we haven't vaccinated enough high-risk people, so that decoupling isn't as complete as it is, for example, in the Northeast.
I want to talk about that, because it's those pockets that are really alarming. Should vaccination become compulsory, if not by the government, then by employers or airlines or schools, nightclubs?
I think it's very difficult for the government to make this type of a mandate. That doesn't usually go well, and it's kind of on a little bit of shaky ground with the disease like COVID-19, if the government is making vaccination a condition of living. However, when you're an organization like a school, like a employer, like an organization, an airline, a transportation company, there I think you do have a lot of leeway to mandate the vaccine. And I think it should be mandated for many different organizations and employers, including my own, the healthcare industry, where we're seeing high vaccination rates among physicians, but not so high vaccination rates among nurses. I think the healthcare industry should lead the way by mandating vaccination as a condition of employment. And I think you're going to see others follow suit, especially when the vaccine gets full FDA approval, which hopefully will be imminently.
A big part of this surge is because of the Delta variant. It's highly contagious. It's pushing this latest increase in cases. So teach me a little bit about how virology works. Would we be at risk of another variant coming down the pike, something even worse than the Delta variant, if the Delta variant isn't corralled?
Well, you have to remember that this virus has been mutating and generating variants the moment it stepped into humans from bats over 18 months or so ago. And most of those variants don't really have much of an impact, because they don't change the behavior of the virus. Some, like the Delta variant, are more fit, so they spread more efficiently, and we're going to see more variants. And I think there could be ones that are more transmissible than Delta, but I think it's important when you think about variants to remember that our vaccines are very potent, especially when it comes to what matters, preventing serious disease, hospitalization, and death. And it is very, very unlikely that you would find a variant that's able to erase everything that a vaccine gives us, the antibodies, the T cells, all of that which prevents us from having severe illness. So I do think we're going to see more variants. And some of them might have different characteristics in the Delta variant. But I do think that the solution will still be our vaccines, because what we're trying to do is tame this virus and defang it and make it unable to cause serious disease at the rate that it could in the past. And I think our vaccines will do that against any variant that you could possibly imagine, just because it is so difficult for a virus to evade everything that a vaccine gives us.
All right, Dr. Amit Adalja, Senior Scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. I want to thank you for taking the time with us this morning to give us the latest on the coronavirus, the vaccine, and the Delta variant, and where things may be going from here. We're going to keep watching that with you. Let's check the markets now. The S&P futures down 13. Dow futures down 137 points. NASDAQ futures down 17. 10-year up 11. 30 seconds. The 10-year yield 1.25%. Much more still to come on this Tuesday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We'll be checking the markets. We'll bring you the latest news, business, economics, and finance. All that's still to come. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at HofstraMBA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Equities are falling. China and Hong Kong leading the losses this morning as a regulatory crackdown has investors selling stock. We get more from Bloomberg's John Liu in Beijing.
The sectors that are under scrutiny right now are big tech. You have education. Property is the other one. The measure that we had yesterday was about property management and Beijing promising to come in there and clean up some of the practices that we've seen in that space.
Bloomberg's John Liu says the sell-off stems from fears that foreign capital will leave China. The CSI 300 dropped 3.5%. The Hang Seng fell more than 4%.
There are new developments this morning on relations between the U.S. and China. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Amy, in diplomatic talks taking place outside of Beijing, China tells the U.S. to stop criticizing its political system and drop all sanctions and tariffs. Despite the tensions, both sides are leaving open the possibility of a summit between President Biden and Xi Jinping. That could take place at a Group of 20 summit in October. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, attempts to craft a bipartisan infrastructure plan are hitting roadblocks. Negotiators still need to bridge several differences. We spoke about the effort with California Democratic Congressman John Garamendi.
If we're going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, that infrastructure has to be designed for tomorrow, not for the 1950s.
California Democratic Congressman John Garamendi spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Let's turn to the pandemic now. We're seeing several new developments this morning. Joining us live with the latest, Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Amy. The U.S. Department of Justice says vaccine requirements for employees are legal. That comes as California requires all state employees to prove they've been vaccinated or wear a mask in the office and get tested once a week at least. New York City is taking similar action. Meantime, a model from the University of Washington shows up to 60% of U.S. COVID cases have gone unreported. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. On Wall Street this morning, earnings from Tesla came in above estimates. The shares are up about 2%. UPS also topped estimates, though it declined to provide forward guidance. GE had solid earnings and raised its outlook. Its shares are up about 2%. And 3M earnings just crossing the Bloomberg, it's raising its outlook after beating analyst estimates on earnings and revenue. Futures moving lower. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. We bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the U.S. Department of Justice's decision to drop an investigation into whether he mishandled COVID-19 outbreaks in nursing homes vindicated his administration. Cuomo said the decision showed the probe initiated under the Trump administration was politically motivated.
The political environment has gotten so toxic in this country, so toxic, so mean. It was an outrageous allegation. New York followed the CDC guidance.
Governor Cuomo, as the Justice Department also said last week, it would not investigate the handling of coronavirus in its nursing homes in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio announced a mandate for municipal workers.
On September 13th, the entire city workforce will be mandated under the COVID safety mandate to either get vaccinated, which is far preferable, or get tested once a week.
The city is battling a rise in COVID-19 cases, especially with the Delta variant. Some riveting testimony is expected as the first hearing of the January 6th committee gets underway later this morning. The hearing will feature testimony from four police officers who tried to defend the Capitol during the riot, including Officer Michael Fanone.
Maybe that will, you know, go a long way into helping us as Americans prevent it from happening again.
Fanone suffered a heart attack and brain injury in the riot. Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are the only Republicans on the panel. The U.S. is going to wind down its mission in Iraq, Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
President Biden saying by the end of the year, the U.S. will not be in combat missions.
Our shared fight against ISIS is critical for the stability of the region, and our counterterrorism cooperation will continue even as we shift to this new phase we're going to be talking about.
So Afghanistan and now Iraq. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Former White House Press Secretary and GOP gubernatorial candidate Sarah Sanders urged people in Arkansas to consider getting what she says is the Trump vaccine. Arkansas is below the national average of fully vaccinated individuals over the age of 12. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Amy. Mets and Braves played a total of 14 innings at Citi Field. Not a lot of scoring. Atlanta won the opener of the doubleheader 2-0. The nightcap was scoreless until the fifth. The Mets were up, having not scored all night.
First ball swinging, hits it in the air to deep center. Heredia sprinting back, way back onto the track, can't get it. Bounces off the wall, stays in play. That's going to score a run. Nimmo around third, comes home skimming, and holding at second with a double and a run batted in is Jeff McNeil. The Mets are finally on the board.
That's Ari Rose, WCBS. 1-0 the final. Mets win a bullpen game. They use six pitchers, all normally relievers. They combined on the four-hit shutout. The Phillies beat the Nationals on an Andrew McCutchen walk-off three-run homer bottom of the ninth, so the Phils trail the Mets by 3.5. The Red Sox won again. That's their 33rd comeback win of the season. They lead Tampa Bay by a game and a half, and the Yankees play at Tampa Bay tonight. Overall, not a great night for the United States in the Olympic pool, although they are celebrating in Alaska, a state that had not produced an Olympic swimmer ever, but 17-year-old Lydia Jacoby, with an upset victory in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. Fellow American Lily King was the defending champ. She settled for bronze. Russians went 1-2 in the men's 100 backstroke. Defending champ Ryan Murphy also settling for bronze. U.S. men had won this event in every Olympics since 1992. A bronze for 19-year-old American Reagan Smith in the women's 100 backstroke. The night after an Australian, Ariane Titmus won gold. Kaylee McEwen also won gold. And Great Britain went 1-2 in the men's 200 freestyle. Tom Dean taking the gold. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
All right. Thank you, John. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Time to take a look now at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Amy. And we might as well start with Tesla. The shares are up about 2.5% in early trading. The electric car maker's quarterly net income surpassed $1 billion for the first time. Earnings and sales for the second quarter beat analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey, and its profit margin from the auto business widened. Now, Tesla kicked off a round of earnings from big tech companies that continues after the close today, when results are due from Apple, Microsoft, and Google owner Alphabet.
And Dave, Intel is looking toward the future. How's that being received?
Not all that well, Amy. Intel shares down 2%. The semiconductor maker laid out a roadmap for regaining its standing as the industry's technology leader by 2025. There's concern about whether they're going to be able to do that and how much it will cost if they do. Intel, by the way, signed up rival Qualcomm as a manufacturing customer. Going back to earnings, you've got 3M up about 0.75%. The maker of Post-it notes, Scotch tape, and thousands of other products raised its annual earnings forecast after second quarter profit and revenue beat estimates. General Electric up almost 4%. The maker of jet engines and power generators posted second quarter profit and sales to surpass estimates and raised this year's forecast for free cash flow from its industrial businesses. United Parcel Services, though, down 0.5%. The package delivery services U.S. revenue grew less than analysts expected. Boston Scientific off 0.75%. The medical device maker's earnings forecast for the third quarter basically matched estimates. Stanley Black & Decker up 0.5%. The toolmaker raised this year's earnings forecast after second quarter profit beat estimates. F5 Networks up 7%. The internet equipment maker's results for the fiscal third quarter surpassed estimates. So did its fourth quarter forecast. We'll have results later today from defense contractor Raytheon Technologies, paint maker Sherwin-Williams, and grain processor Archer Daniels Midland, among others. All those companies due before the opening bell. Moving to China, online tutors are higher in U.S. trading after a two-day plunge. New Oriental Education up 9.5%. TAL Education up 10%. Gaotu Tech Edu up 10.5%. Other Chinese ADRs, though, are lower again on concern that the government may take more steps to rein in technology companies. Online retailer Alibaba Group holding down 3.5%. Search company Baidu down 4.5%. And ride hailing service Didi Global also down 4.5%.
All right, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you so much for joining us, Dave. And futures are lower. S&P down 11.5. Dow futures down 121 points. NASDAQ futures down 13.5. 10-year price now at higher, 11/32 higher. This is Bloomberg. It's going to be a hot one, 95 degrees with sunshine today. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers going down to 70. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. We'll see 85 degrees. It's 74 right now in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures move lower as earnings roll in. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures are trading in the red right now, with Dow futures down 111 points, S&P's dropped 10, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 12. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.25%. Gold is little changed. Bitcoin is down 0.5%. And Hong Kong fell 4.2% overnight amid the ongoing Chinese crackdown. European markets are also in the red this morning, and back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence and the Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Tesla reported net income crossing $1 billion for the first time. Shares are up 2.3% pre-market. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, GE boosted its industrial free cash flow outlook. UPS and 3M both beat estimates. And wrapping things up, Alibaba ADRs were cut to sell over at DZ Bank. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
Okay, Bill, thanks. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg-type squawk on the terminal, SQUA. Go. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hearings by the House Select Committee looking into January's attack on the Capitol get underway today. Four police officers who defended the U.S. Capitol on January 6th kickstart the House Select Committee's investigation into the deadly riot. North Korea's Kim Jong-un and South Korea's Moon Jae-in agreed to restore relations, improving the prospects in nuclear talks. The two Koreas released what appeared to be a coordinated statement today calling for reconciliation on the peninsula. At the Tokyo Olympics, Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka has been knocked out of contention. American Carissa Moore has made history by winning surfing gold. 17-year-old Lydia Jacoby gave the U.S. a victory in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. The U.S. has 22 medals in the Tokyo Olympics. China has 21. Major League Baseball, the Mets split a doubleheader. The Red Sox won. The Nationals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Chipotle and Shake Shack test the limits of America's fast food love. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. COVID-19 turned the U.S. into a takeout food nation. Quick service restaurants such as Chipotle, Domino's Pizza, and Shake Shack have seized on the pickup and delivery trends. They're betting that people avoidance will play a persistent role in the future of dining and that consumers will remain willing to pay extra for it. For example, Chipotle has opened drive-thrus called Chipotlanes while raising menu prices. But the pandemic's turbulent effects haven't finished running their course through the economy, which means a lot could still change. Restaurant valuations aren't reflecting the uncertainty of whether the sales growth at these restaurants can continue to absorb the impact of higher ingredient and labor costs on their profit margins. Chipotle's stock trades at a 130% premium to McDonald's. America loves its fast food, but there are still only so many occasions in a week for it, and only so much customers will pay. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of our top stories in our nation's capital include infrastructure. Republicans have rejected the latest offer from Democrats. We'll also talk about the probe into the January 6th Capitol riot. Those hearings get underway today. And President Biden says the VA will require vaccinations for all employees. Let's get more on these stories. We bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, good morning. It's a pleasure as always. Let's start with infrastructure. This latest rejection from the GOP puts the whole deal at risk. What happens now?
So last night, there were still discussions among the senators in the bipartisan negotiating group of resolution. They haven't come to one yet. They decided at the end of Monday that White House counselor Steve Ricchetti and Ohio Senator Rob Portman, a Republican, would continue bargaining by phone on Monday and keep other lawmakers in the loop. Right now, there are still a number of things that have not yet been decided, such as spending levels on water projects, differences on transit funding. There's still a lot of things to do here. And you're facing sort of this question on whether Democrats should just let go of talks and go it alone. And yesterday you heard from Senator Joe Manchin, who pointed out that if Democrats don't have this bipartisan infrastructure plan, it would be very hard for them to also convince each other to pass this larger reconciliation package. So there's no sort of really easy out here for Democrats. They're definitely still trying to negotiate, still trying to come to something. You still hear a lot of optimism among senators who believe that they can come to an agreement. But at this point, things are not looking good for a potential infrastructure bill to materialize.
What's the next step with this? Are they still having talks?
I think at this point, everyone's sort of looking at Rob Portman and Steve Ricchetti from the White House to see what they wind up agreeing on. We'll be definitely paying close attention today. Senators, Democrats, and Republicans will have their own lunches later today, and usually those can be a little bit illuminating as to how the parties are thinking, so we'll be paying very close attention there. And otherwise, we're keeping an eye on Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader. He suggested that there's a chance that they could be working into the weekend or that he could delay the August recess, which is supposed to start on August 9th, but he could keep senators in for longer, trying to get to some sort of agreement.
Okay, Emily, let's stay with Capitol Hill. Lawmakers are also getting ready to hear testimony in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot. So what's on the agenda for that today?
So today, the committee is going to be hearing from four police officers who were at the riots, who are trying to protect the Capitol from the mob that was approaching. And they're going to be hearing from them. This comes as drama has really unfolded last week. Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejecting several of the GOP nominations to the committee, Republicans deciding that they weren't going to have anyone save Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, two anti-Trump Republicans who have been very outspoken and who Pelosi actually asked to be on the committee. At this point, you know, we're not, there's a lot of unknowns about this committee. We don't know how many hearings they're going to have. We don't know how long this investigation is going to run. This could easily run into 2022, and Democrats could try and make it an issue for the upcoming election as a way to sort of keep the events of January 6th in front of voters. And definitely we're expecting a lot of sort of partisanship around this. We already know that there will be a number of Republicans trying to hold counter events today and to speak out against the committee. Basically, this has become something that's pretty hyperpartisan. Even as serious questions remain about what happened on January 6th.
And Emily, we've got about a minute here, but we want to look at the latest from the coronavirus. President Biden now says everybody at Veterans Affairs is going to have to be fully vaccinated. Where is that going?
So this is the first time that we've seen a federal department come out and do require mandatory vaccinations. And this is going to be mandatory for certain medical personnel. So physicians, dentists, optometrists, registered nurses, basically those who are on the front lines of health and who are actually working with individuals on a day-to-day basis. So they're the ones who the vaccines are going to be mandated for. We'll see how this play out. They have 8 weeks to be fully vaccinated under this order. And then the question is, what happens at the end of the 8 weeks to those who have not yet been vaccinated? And this could be the start of more potential vaccine mandates as we see the Delta variant continue to spread and impact those who are fully vaccinated.
Yeah, we're going to be watching it with you. Emily, thank you so much. This is 100,000 employees that they have to get vaccinated and quick. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, we appreciate it. You can read more about all of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. We're almost at 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility, and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. When cancer patients stop smoking, they heal faster, experience fewer side effects from treatment, and lower their chances of tumors returning. Now top cancer hospitals are helping patients quit as evidence mounts that it's never too late. According to a new study for the World Health Organization's Cancer Research Agency in Lyon, France, lung cancer patients who stopped smoking gained nearly 2 years of life compared to those who continued to smoke. New back-to-the-office mandates from California and New York City. California is going to require all state employees to prove they're vaccinated or wear a mask in the office and get tested for COVID at least once a week. New York City is doing the same for its municipal workers. And Tokyo has reported its highest number of new coronavirus infections just days after the Olympics began. The Japanese capital reported more than 2,800 new COVID cases, bringing Tokyo's total to more than 200,000 since the pandemic began last year. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Watching earnings continue to cross the Bloomberg terminal, including one company with ties to science, I think it's safe to say. Raytheon Technologies boosted its adjusted earnings per share forecast for the full year. That guidance beat the average analyst estimates. Futures continue to fall. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 105. NASDAQ futures down 13 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 10/30 seconds, yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude little changed at $71.92 a barrel. The euro, 1.1790 against the dollar. The yen at 110.10. And Bitcoin, $37,650. Bloomberg Surveillance, straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Amy Morris, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.